Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this Sunday, on this 26th Sunday in Pentecost, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd just like to take this opportunity to introduce our moderator, the moderator of the Presbytery of Philadelphia, the Honorable Elder Jim Ballingy is here with us this morning. Amen. Just another few other announcements here for you. A reminder that our upcoming annual congregation meeting is upcoming, so please have all of your reports in. I believe they're all in. And there will be a joint meeting today with the session and the deacons immediately after worship this morning. And please mark this down for the 24th, we will be having our Thanksgiving dinner. So please come for that. All are welcome. Mr. Moderator, you are welcome too. It's good eating, and look forward to seeing all of you for that on November the 24th. There are other things, of course, happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time to read your bulletin. Also go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign when these things are all to be accomplished?" Jesus began to say to them, "Take heed that no one is led astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear the wars and the rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the sufferings." This ends the reading from God's holy word.
Well, friends, here we are. It's mid-November. Weather is getting cooler. The days are getting shorter. The leaves are almost gone. And the bright, vibrant yellows and reds and oranges of just a couple of weeks ago are rapidly giving way to a shriveled brown. Autumn is indeed upon us. Some of us may know a thing or two about autumn and what it means to live in the autumn. Thanks to the wonders of modern technology, I meet once a month by way of Zoom with some old college friends of mine. It's always good to catch up with people you've known since your youth. And most of them were, unlike myself, athletes, say football players, wrestlers, track and field stars. But usually when we get together, our conversation doesn't turn on the glories of our youth or what we've built or accomplished in the interim. A lot of time what's discussed are things that we are losing: worn out knees, retreating hairlines, battling high blood pressure and other ailments associated with growing older. Not to mention the friends and acquaintances we've lost along the way. By the time you get to be 60, you know pretty well that nothing lasts forever. You know that one day there's going to be an end. I know that none of you are probably boxing fans, and there was a fight the other night. It had been built up for months. Mike Tyson versus someone, I can't remember the name now, but I understand I didn't get to see it. But the fight was a dud. It didn't go the way many people thought it would. Tyson lost. Many fans were terribly disappointed, but I thought to myself, how in the world could anyone have thought any differently? Tyson is 58 years old, going up against a man half his age. You would have to be purely delusional to think that he was going to win. Yes, he's a great fighter at one time, maybe even the greatest boxer who ever lived, but nothing lasts forever. One day, there's going to be an end. An end even to our greatest achievements and accomplishments. That seems to be on the Lord's mind in our text this morning, the end. In Mark's gospel, this is the last week of Jesus' life. In a few more days, he'll be facing his own end on the cross. But this morning, he and his disciples are still in Jerusalem. They're standing before the temple, the mighty temple that King Herod had built, which was one of the wonders of the world. The disciples are very much taken in by it all. They're Googling over it. But Jesus is not impressed. See this great, magnificent building, he says. Not one stone is going to be left upon another. It's all going to be thrown down. It's all going to come to an end. I can imagine disciples looking at each other, saying to themselves, what in the world has gotten into Jesus? He can't really mean that this temple, this great temple that took 40 years to build, this great temple with these huge, gigantic stones, he can't really mean that it's all going to be torn down, but that's what Jesus says. Stone by stone, all thrown down. I'm from a mid-sized city, about 150,000 people in Missouri. It's the queen city of the Ozarks. We didn't have any big buildings there. We had one building that I was proud of. It was called the Lemonwood Tree. It had about three or four stories, and I was proud of that building. But it wasn't anything like the skyscrapers here in the city of Philadelphia. A few years ago, right before COVID, a group of us were meeting with the president of the city council. He was very optimistic about the development going on in the city. He pointed to a number of cranes that were going up around the city, indicative of the construction of new skyscrapers being built in Center City, and he was quite proud that the city was moving in the right direction. Well, according to Jesus, what goes up must come down. One day, Jesus says, it's all coming down. All these magnificent buildings, all these skyscrapers, all these signs of progress, all these developments, all these things that you put in your faith and trust in, one day, it's all going to be thrown down. It's all going to come to an end. I know when we hear Jesus say things like this, we want to say, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Jesus, this is not like you. We expect you to bring us words of comfort and assurance, not to terrify us. Life's already scary enough without you fanning the flames. But Jesus doesn't come to terrify us. He doesn't come to paralyze us with fear. But he does come to help us to see. He wants us to see clearly. He wants us to see past all the ways that we often delude ourselves. It's easy for us to believe that the things we've built or the things that we've accomplished or the things that we're a part of, it's easy for us to believe that they're so big and strong and sturdy and impressive looking that they'll last forever. Or at least a long time, but Jesus says, no, it's all coming down. one day it's all going to come down. It's all going to come to an end. This text is called an apocalyptic text. It's Mark's little apocalypse. And when I think of apocalypse, I tend to think of the future. Tend to think of the scary things that's going to happen in the future. All kind of scary things await us out there in the future. Nuclear war, maybe. Climate catastrophe, zombies lurching and walking to and fro. All kind of things that's going to happen in the future if we're not careful. And I know there are preachers and writers who've made a cottage industry out of talking about the future. But Jesus isn't interested so much in telling us about the future this morning. What Jesus wants us to understand is how shaky, how uncertain, how fragile is the here and the now. Certainly we know that, don't we? We live in a world of wars and rumors of wars almost every day, a world of famines and earthquakes, tsunamis and hurricanes. We live in an apocalyptic kind of world every day. I still remember the sinking feeling I got 22 years ago when the Twin Towers came crumbling down. I was watching it on TV in total disbelief. That kind of thing is not supposed to happen here, not in the United States, not in the richest, most powerful country in the world, not to these iconic symbols of American power. That kind of thing is not supposed to happen, but there they were, crumbling down, coming to an end. Of course, it's not just the big dramatic events that make the world such a precarious place. There you are, well-housed, well-invested, well-secured. The future is secure, and then the stock market crashes, and suddenly your security and your nice world has fallen apart, and you're left vulnerable, not knowing how you're going to survive in the future. Or there you are, the perfect picture of health, moving right along, not a care in the world, and in a trip to the doctor reveals something deadly and life-threatening. Jesus reminds us that things are not always as secure and stable and predictable as it may seem. One day, he says, it's all coming down. I was talking with some friends yesterday who are pretty disillusioned by the recent election. I certainly understand that. It happens every 4 years, doesn't it? At least half the country are elated by the results, and the other half of the country are disillusioned. And each side can usually give pretty good reasons why they think the ascendancy of the other side means the end of the world. But this is going to sound strange. But for a Christian, being disillusioned is a good thing. Being disillusioned is an essential part of what it means to be a Christian. That's what Jesus comes to do. He comes to bust our bubbles. He comes to take away the comfortable illusions that we have built for ourselves. As a follower of Christ, we should be disillusioned. Disillusioned by our politics, disillusioned by the promise of technology, disillusioned by all the things that we believe can substitute and bring us security and peace and can fortify our lives. You and I know there's only one thing that can fortify our lives. There's only one thing that can bring us security, and that is the faith that we have in God. the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and the way he calls us to walk. And so to be disillusioned in the promises of the world is a good thing, because it reminds us where our faith really lies. And so whatever side you're on this morning, whether you're on the elated side or whether you're on the disillusioned side, the good news is that God is still in control. The word apocalypse, of course, means to uncover, to reveal. I was reading someone the other day who said that things are not necessarily getting worse, they're just getting uncovered. Whenever you see things going on in the world, strife, conflict, it's not just that things are getting worse, things are becoming uncovered. All the things that might promise stability for some of us, all the things that might bring some of us comfort while bringing other people dis-ease and unease, things are being uncovered. One of the things that was uncovered for me in the course of the last year is the situation going on in the Middle East, the situation going on in Gaza, the bombing and killing of so many people. It revealed for me and uncovered for me in a whole new way the cruelty and the way we fail to be concerned about our fellow human beings, about the easy way we are willing to allow for injustices in various parts of the world, about the way that we fail to hear the cries of others, even the cries of children, the ways that we don't care. All of that was revealed and uncovered for me and this year in a whole new way, a way that I didn't see before. And yes, I was disillusioned. Disillusioned by my own country, disillusioned by the government that was representing me, disillusioned that we as human beings, we as Americans, could allow that kind of thing to happen. Not only allow it to happen, but to pay for it to happen. You may be saying, well, Randy, where's the good news in this? Where's the good news in all of this apocalyptic talk? Because there is good news. I mean, that's what Jesus is bringing. He's bringing good news. And Jesus says the good news is this: when you see things like this happening, know that it's about the birth pangs. When you see things like this happening, wars and rumors of wars, know that there's another world that's trying to be born. Know that there's another world that's coming into being. It's the beginning of birth pains. Yes, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Yes, there's going to be people coming in my name, saying that they represent me. Yes, there's going to be all kinds of things happening, but God is still in control. No matter who may be ruling in Washington, or Beijing, or Moscow, or what have you. There's a little story I told you before, but it always is worth repeating. It's about a young boy who all he wanted for his birthday was a donkey. And so on his birthday, he got up and he ran outside to find the donkey that he knew was going to be there. But instead of a donkey, there was nothing but a big pile of manure. But instead of being despondent, he grabbed a shovel and he started shoveling, and shoveling, and shoveling, and shoveling. And his parents asking, "What are you doing? What are you doing shoveling that manure?" And he said, "I know that there's a donkey in here somewhere." And that's true, too, with a lot of this apocalyptic literature and this apocalyptic world. There's a donkey in there somewhere, and here's the donkey. God is going to get the kind of world that God wants. God is going to get the future that God wants, whether we like it or not. As the great preacher William Willimon says, God is going to get God's future, even if it means that God has to mess up our world, even if it means that our world has to come crumbling down, even if it means that the world that has made us so comfortable and secure, even if that world has to come crumbling down, God is going to get the world and the future that God wants. And that's the good news. That's the good news for all of us. It's the good news for you. It's the good news for me. It's the good news for all of us Americans. It's the good news for people living in Palestine, in Gaza. It's the good news for people in the world who are hungry. It's the good news for people who are hungering and thirsting after justice. It's the good news for people who are living in the midst of war. God is going to get the world that God wants. The question for you and for me this morning is, do we want that world too? Do we want God's world, or will we try to hang on to this one? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, come before you this morning giving thanks for your gracious presence in the midst of our world. And we thank you too for reminding us that only in you is our lives and our futures secured. Help us not to put our faith and trust in the things that we can see, into things that we're impressed by because they seem strong and powerful and immovable. But help us to put our faith in the one who came in our midst to show us what it means to love you and to love each other, and what it means to live into the future that you have promised each and every one of us. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.